washing. And this 13th chapter begins really a long sermon or a long session that goes right on through to the beginning of the 18th chapter. The 18th chapter begins with this. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Kidron, where was the garden into which he entered and his disciples. So everything from the 12th chapter of John on through to the 17th chapter are recording for us, well, actually 13th chapter, I mean, are recording for us events that took place in the upper room. After he had established the Lord's Supper, he delivered a discourse to them, beginning at the verse 1 of the 14th chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He begins that discourse there. But in the 13th chapter, as I mentioned to you, there was a discourse or there was a disagreement going on among these apostles as to which one would be the greatest. And after he had washed their feet and dismissed Judas, he begins to speak to them in verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while, and I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment, I give unto you. Now, this is our Lord's last discourse, and there are going to be some significant, important words said here in this discourse, and this is the beginning of it. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, we have just observed the Lord's Supper, in which we are reminded by these elements of how much our Lord loved us. He loved us to the point of suffering death, shameful death, persecution, pain, injury, all of that. And then, most significant event, the taking of the cup of sin. All of that because he loved us. If I loved you, you also love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. In the 15th chapter, in verse 12, he repeats this phrase. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, we will somewhat find that, and we should find that to be an easy thing, to love our spouses. This is the one that we feel like that God has appointed to us, given to us. Indeed, they have avowed their love for us. And so it is easy for us to love them. Not always because they're perfect. I acknowledge my errors and weaknesses and failures as a husband, yet in spite of all that, my wife has perfectly and consistently loved me. And so we are to love one another, though. Our Lord says, As I have loved you, who were we? What were we that God should love us? Even, he says, love your enemies. You hear about divorces, men and women saying, I don't love that person anymore. Well, I don't understand that myself. How that A spouse can say, I love this one in marriage, take a vow before God, say, I love this one, and then later say, I don't love them. Our Lord said, as I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. Not only does he say that here, but also in the 17th verse, he says to those, these things I command you, that you love one another. These things have I commanded you, that you love one another. I have spoken to you this morning about how that Joseph was a type, parallel of Christ. I missed one point, or did not take time to deal with that because I wanted to speak to us about it this afternoon. In the 15th chapter, or the 45th chapter of Genesis, as Joseph is now sending his brethren back home to get his father. You might turn there a minute with me in your Bibles, the 45th chapter of Genesis. He knows these men. He has been the subject of their wrath and their anger. And he knows the strife that goes on among them. In 15th verse, well, let me begin reading in verse 14. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Now remember, these are the two that are brothers, whole brothers, I'll say. We would call them, the others, half-brothers. They are the sons of Leah. But Benjamin is his whole brother. Moreover, he kissed all of his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the famine thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, or the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. So the report goes back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh calls Joseph in. Joseph tells him about his father. Now Pharaoh says in verse 19, now thou art commanded this do, ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come, and also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. How like Christ he is here, in his great love and compassion toward his brethren, who had done him ill, with whom he had every right to be vindictive. And yet rather than doing that, he shows Christ-like grace and kindness and mercy to them. And he provides for them all the things that they would need for their journey. Is that not like our Lord, who has provided for us all the things whereby that we are needful of? To all them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 sea asses laden with corn and bread and meal for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. He said to them, here's the phrase that I want particularly to direct your attention to. As they are leaving, here's his final instruction to them. Just as our Lord, just before he dies, gives final instructions to those men that you love one another, so Joseph gives final instruction to these men because he knows their nature. See that you fall not out by the way. That little phrase, insignificant phrase, is so Christ-like. See not that you fall out by the way. Now, what in the world does that mean? Well, the word here, the Hebrew word that is translated fall out, means that they would, what we might say, have a falling out with each other. Wrath, anger. Fact of the matter, the word is translated several other times in the Bible as being wrath. 2 Samuel 2:8, the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the heavens were moved and shook because he was wroth. Same Hebrew word there. 2 Kings 19:27. But I know thy abode, thy going out, thy coming in, and thy wrath or thy rage against me. Same Hebrew word. And so when he says that you don't get angry with each other, he is warning them. Here's my final instruction to you. As I have shown kindness to you, as I have been forgiving towards you, so you be kind and forgiving one toward another. Don't fall out. Don't get in an argument along the way. Because he knew their nature. So our Lord, likewise, gives commandment to us and to the apostles. Because he foreknew what they would, he knew what they were, who they were, and he foreknew how they would react. We're told that when they came and took the Lord in the garden, first thing, of course, Peter draws a sword and tries to cut one of the men's head off. And look, for God's mercy, it would have happened. But they all forsook the Lord. Even Peter openly denied him with a curse. I wonder if not maybe if I wonder if not maybe they turned against each other also. In a way in which they were saying to them, you deceived me. You one got me to come and follow him. You told me this. You told me this. I don't know, but I'm just speculating. But our Lord said to them, this I give to you, that you love one another. And it was also that they would have to be forgiving of each other, especially towards Peter, who denied the Lord. And when the Lord was ascended, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter that I've risen. Peter may have been outside of the company at the time. And so Joseph says, you go back to Dad, paraphrasing it, but you also, don't you get in any family quarrels. Your brother, don't get angry with each other. We are all human beings. We all have our different temperaments, dispositions, traits, likes, dislikes. I love my wife with all my heart. But bless her dear heart, sometimes she does something that irritates me. And to my failure and fault, I will say something that I shouldn't say back to her. The longer I live with her, honestly, I've told her time and time again, I wish there was some way that I could go back and take an eraser and erase out all those harsh words. Of course, you can't. And I'm acknowledging this to illustrate the point that the longer we're together, the more precious our marriage and our love comes to each other, mean to us. And I can look back, and I've told her this privately, I look back over my marriage and say, you should have smacked my face, you should have done this, but by God's grace, you didn't. But I've done so many stupid things as a husband. But she keeps on loving me. By God's grace, because of her God-given love for me. I have a brother, you know, that he and I have no communication with each other. I can say to you justifiably, you know, I mean, it's not on my part. It's his actions. But yet it is grievous to me. We're brothers. I have another brother that I have sad thoughts about. But that's in the flesh. God's people are the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, we are Primitive Baptists because we have certain convictions. And I adhere to those and I hold to those, and they're very dear and very precious to me. But I was speaking with a man this past week who was not Primitive Baptist, and I have said that this is my criteria. First of all, in all areas of my life, I hope to be a Christian. That's primary. That's first. Secondly, as a Christian, I am a Baptist. I want to be known as a man who is a Baptist. Brother Gunnar told me in India, they call me John the Baptist, Herb John the Baptist. Well, I don't hold that up as any crown honor to me. Brother, I respect and honor those who've gone before me, the sacrifices they've made, the faithfulness they have adhered to, the truth of God. And I could no more give up the word Baptist than I could give up the word Christian. Not that they are necessarily the same, but to me they are. And as a Baptist, I'm a Primitive Baptist. I try to identify myself the kind of Baptist that I am. I, at times, like the phrase just simply New Testament Baptist, because I don't believe that all Primitive Baptists are New Testament in their manner, in their order. But first of all, my point is, I want to be Christian toward every person that I meet. I hope to be that. I hope to be that with those also, especially, that are of the household of God. Paul tells us that, as much as life within you, live peace with all men, especially those who are the house of God. Much life within you. Give none offense, he says, to those who are the house of God, especially, and he mentions Jews, Gentiles, and then the church. It is a banner that Or it is a marker that should be identifying God's people always, how we love each other as God's people. Too much the world sees us as quarrelsome to each other. Part of the problem right here in Aberdeen, while we have some racial problems, we also have other problems, which are spiritual problems, in that professing Christians can't get along with each other. I've said that all the churches that are in existence are somewhat a disgrace and discredit to us as Christians, because there are too much carnality among us. If we all could, some way or another, by God's grace, crucify our carnalities and our pride, there could only be one kind of church, as there's only one biblical kind of church in a community. But that's diverse from the subject. Christians need to love each other. They ought to manifest love toward each other. Characteristic of God's people, that we love each other. Not just those who are kind toward us, but even those who may not agree with us. But especially those who are of our church congregation. The devil wants to divide this church. The devil wants to divide your families. I keep telling you, keep saying to us, that the devil, first of all, wants to destroy you individually, personally. He wants to destroy your character, your testimony, even take your life to ruin you. He wants to destroy your marriage. Your marriage is constantly under harassment and bombardment from the devil. The world wants to see your marriage destroyed because it's satanically empowered. And there are pressures put on you as a married couple, enticements, whereby that you would destroy your marriage. Pray for one another. Pray for your spouse. Pray for other people who are married, that God would be pleased to hold their marriages intact, to love each other. And then if he can, he wants to destroy each New Testament church congregation. And sometimes he does it, divides them, sets them at odds with each other. And as I told one church congregation, you are divided, and in years to come, you will wonder what the division was over. And I was proven to be right. Nothing doctrinal, but it was personalities. Satan wants to set individual Christian people against each other. Brother Roger, to me, is a dear Christian friend. I respect Brother Roger. I have high admiration for him. But sometimes, in days past, I know that I must have irritated him some way or another. I'm just not quite that perfect. But Brother Roger has never, as I know of, ever shown any disrespect toward me. I admire and appreciate Brother Roger's faithfulness to me as his pastor. I can say that to all of y'all. I'm honored to be your pastor. And I know that there are times that I've irritated some of you in some way or another, and I apologize for that. But you've all been respectful toward me as your pastor, and I appreciate that. But it is not just to me as pastor. It ought to be also toward each other. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to guard over our affection for each other, and hold it in high esteem, and see and guard ourselves that we don't fall out along the way. You know, Joseph's brethren had a long way to go home. A lot of things to be experienced, hardships. And it's easy in those kind of pressure situations to get upset with each other. Well, that's God's people today. See that you don't fall out along the way. You've got a long journey in front of you. You're going to need each other. We don't need to support each other, encourage each other. I've tried to assist Ruth more so because of her illness right now. And she keeps thanking me for it. Well, I'm glad to do it because I love her and because she's done that for me through years. And I remember when I had a broken arm, how much she nursed me and took care of me. And so it's just natural. Well, that's true with all of us as God's people, toward each other, to care for each other. They went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Does sometimes you get fainting along the way? Don't you sometimes have some questions in your mind about, is this really true? Is it really all? Is what God promised, is it really true? And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he said to them. Next phrase. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry them, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die. Sometimes God's people, at least I do, get discouraged in the way. At least sometimes I feel like God's lost control of things. Or sometimes you want to say, are all of God's promises true? And all the circumstances seem adverse to you. On a previous occasion, when they came back and told Jacob that Benjamin had been kept by this man down there in Pharaoh, down there in the land of Egypt. And he said, all these things are against me. You ever been there? You think everything in the world is going against you? But it's not, child of God. It's not. Nothing is going against you. God is always working all things for our good. I have to remind myself of that. And we need to remind each other of that. And when it seems like the darkest time, the darkest hour, God sends a wagon. I could recall several of them right now in my own experience, but one that comes to my mind the most is right now, is riding a train in India. And I was just depressed. Zach was asleep. Of course, that's nothing unusual. Zach slept all the time. Blessed. I wish I could do like he does. He sleeps in a taxi flying down the highway 90 miles an hour. Zach was asleep. Gunnar was asleep. Whoever else was. Everybody in our party was asleep. It was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We traveled, you know. We hadn't been asleep, any of us, hardly much. And so tired and weary, and I was just so depressed. Really homesick, to put it one way. Sister Don had given me an M3 player. I didn't know much about those things and didn't really think I would ever use it. But I thanked her for it, and I took it along. Since I was the only one around, I thought, well, I'll try this thing out. And that song, God is our refuge, start playing it. And a wagon came by the Spirit of God to my heart. And I said, God hasn't forsaken me. He's with me. He promised to be with us. Well, you will have those times and those occasions when God will come to you in a special way in wagons. Right when it seems like there's no one else and no one anywhere that understands and no one will help you. And nobody can help you. I'll tell you, child of God, wagons are coming. Are coming. It may be on your deathbed that you see some of them. It'll be sufficient. Our Father, we come to you here this hour. We're thankful for your goodness and your mercy toward us. Help us as God's people to live in a way that we love one another, esteem each other, that we might honor Christ. And then, dear Father, we pray that you would help us be mindful that you're sending wagons to us by your Holy Spirit. You come to visit our hearts in the darkest hours and the most lonely times. You come to your people to let us know it's all true. It's all true. Go with us through this week. Guard over us and direct us according to your will. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.